Good morning. Well, some things haven't changed much. I see most of you hang to the back in the midst of all things. It's good to see you this morning and this time we come together to worship God and to praise Him and to Disappoint Commission all the blue men over here, men and women. You're going to give me trouble, huh? Okay. All right, I'm warned. So in the midst of it, but it's good to have the team as they prepare their trip to West Virginia. And if you're visiting with us this morning, I just ask that you be blessed by our time together. And indeed, may God fill your hearts with spirits and with love and grace. And may you return to us again another time. For those of you who don't know, my name is Tom Funk, and I'm kind of an itinerant pastor. I kind of go from place to place, preaching wherever they'll have me, and so I'm thankful to be with you today and blessed by our time together. We're going to commission those who are going off, and I see it's quite a nice large group that's going. And what we're going to ask you to do, as in the past has been, that you, those who are being commissioned, kind of go into the center aisle, and then we would ask you who are out there who want to place your hands on them in the midst of that, and we'll do the commissioning service. Come on, all you blue men and women, come on out in the aisle there.
You won. Yep.
Good morning, church. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we're going to West Virginia for a work trip. We'd like to thank all of you as the representatives of this church and other churches. Again, First Church is the one who started this, but there are many churches who are represented here in this group. I was very pleased whenever Pastor Dave said that Reverend Funk was going to be able to be here to do the commissioning. And because of that, we want to make him an honorary member of our team and present him with a T-shirt. It works with any clothes, so you can, yeah. We want to thank you for all the support that you've given us. We'd ask that you continue to keep us in your prayers. There's nothing we're going to do about the weather, but guess what? God allowed man to invent tarps. So we bought some big ones. We're taking them with us, and we're going to try and ward off some of that liquid sunshine that we might see down in West Virginia. We have been in contact with the family. They were not affected by the floods, thank God. We asked you to pray for those people who were and those lives that were lost. We are anticipating to have another complete project that will happen. The chuck wagon's packed. A few things need to go in the truck, a little bit of fuel, a little diesel fuel, and we're going to be ready to go. We'll be leaving here today at 1:30. If you're interested in coming down and seeing the group off, we'd welcome you to do that. We ask that those of you who remain behind to keep the fires burning, the home fires burning for us. It's not just this group of people that are going, but each one of you in some way has participated, either with your presence here today or leading up to this point. The monies that have come in, which now have reached $5,142. Give yourselves a round of applause. But we all know it's not about the money. It's about the lives that would be changed. the Pitzer family will never be the same after we get done with them. And that's a good thing. And that's a good thing. I think Nicole is excited about the fact that they're getting a new room. But she's also excited about the fact they're getting new furniture. The furniture that has been donated has been placed on the utility trailer that has been donated to the cause, been sitting in the Laner's garage out of the weather. We're going to deliver that and actually take it to the house today. Well, we asked for your prayers to continue for the team, for Traveling Mercies to and from West Virginia, Traveling Mercies to and from the site, safe work site, a safe kitchen site, and we just thank God for each of you and your families, and God bless America.
If you come right in the center, folks, just right in the very center of the aisle so that we can catch you either way. We've got a couple of people standing over here. Are you going to come into the circle here? Come into the center? Come on. Now, folks, what we're going to do is we're going to share this litany, and then I'm going to read the leader's part. And the participants and those of you who are going to put your hands on them will also read the responses, and we'll go from there. And then finally, I'm going to have a prayer at this point as we dedicate you to this task. All who take upon themselves the name of Christ are called into ministries of love and service by the example of Christ. And as these members of our church begin their work among the peoples of Philippi, West Virginia, we pray the blessings of God, our pastor, and this church upon their endeavors. Through our prayers, we will be united with you in your work. Let us affirm your belief in the responsibilities of the Christian service. We believe in the Holy Spirit, through whom we acknowledge God's gifts. We dedicate ourselves in peace throughout the world and to the role of justice and law among all nations. Let us pray. Lord, as we lay our hands on these people, indeed may your hand of blessings touch them, embroil them in your spirit and grace. May they be ambassadors for you in this place, and may they be returned home safely and carefully from their journey, and may they have traveling mercies to and fro in all that they are. And we just pray, O Lord, that you will use them in such a way that they will receive a gift from you, and they will receive the gifts of personhood from those they serve. And let them understanding that this task of ministry that comes to us in such a time is not only a privilege, but it is for your glory, O Lord. And we just pray that in all things your ministry may be done, and the fruits of that ministry may be dedicated lives, both from those who carry this word and this work and those who receive it. And may the receivers and the givers be one in all that we are, blessing them to do what is pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we ask it. And all God's people said,
amen,
amen and amen.
And may the peace of Christ be with you. And now please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
As you return to your seats, I was reminded, hopefully this is the only thing I'm going to forget today. I was reminded that I didn't bring up about the two boards that are in the narthex. If you haven't already taken an opportunity to sign your name, put a little note on there, those boards will be placed as ceiling joists. So you will, if you place your name or a little note there, you will always be watching over this Pitzer family. And I also failed to show that these baskets that have been made up for the family, it's going to be like Christmas to these kids and this family between the new room, furniture, and all these gifts. And it's all because of you.
Thank you, Jack, and God is certainly good indeed, and we have been celebrating with Jack and Pat these last several Sundays, and now we are giving a big hurrah to the work team, and our continued prayers will be with all of you. I would also ask just extra prayers for just the whole state of West Virginia. I'm a Mountaineer proud. WVU is where I went to school for my undergrad and master's, and I still know a lot of people that live in the state, and if you've not seen the news, it's just overwhelming. So as we pray for our work trip and to keep Philippi sunny skies with our sunshine and blue skies, let's remember the others in West Virginia right now as well. We just have two quick announcements. Penny Brandt. Penny is our soundboard coordinator and also our VBS coordinator, and she has asked me to announce this urgent message. And it's urgent because VBS, Vacation Bible School, is in 2 weeks, and July 11th through the 15th. And we, as a church, can help in supplying some of the items that are needed. And Penny has put a poster in the narthex. So if you could just take a few minutes after worship today to find it in your heart and some of those items that you might be able to provide to make that just a fun, exciting experience for the children that are registered and that will register. And Diane Runser has a few announcements.
If you have not already done so in the last few weeks, I'd like you to please look in the drawers in the stand just to the right of the exit door as you leave, and look for your name tag. If you do not have one there, there should be some pens and cards for you to put your name on. And we ask that starting next week, for the entire month of July, that you wear the name tags during worship, and as you exit and shake hands with Pastor Bruce, then there'll be a basket or something there for you to drop your name tags in so we can put them back and you can find them the next week. Now, if you still have yours at home in a drawer somewhere, this is the week to find them. So we appreciate your help in that. You know, we only have to learn four names. He has to learn a couple of hundred. And this makes it an awful lot easier to put a face with the name. And also on that same thing, the directories. We right now have 84 orders. We were hoping for 200. Now we want to get to 100. So if you have not yet turned in a paper to order your directory, the price we set was at $10, and that was the price if we had 200. We're trying to check with them to see what the price will be. The cost to the church will be if we only order 100. So there might be a little variation in there. But if you haven't yet ordered it, please, please do it this week. There are order forms on the narthex table. And if you can't find that, stick it in an envelope, mark your name, how many you want, and your address and phone number on it. And then put it in the offering plate or leave it in the slot in the door in the office or bring it in sometime during the week. We appreciate everybody's participation in this, and that will also help us to know who we're worshiping with. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Diane. I did forget to remind you, although you probably do know the drill, to sign the red or the registration pad in your red folders. And if you do have a prayer request this morning, if you could put that in the clear holder, and we'll bring that forward to Reverend Funk. And I would ask that you do take a look at your bulletin for some of the other announcements and meetings and events that are happening in the life of our church. I would now ask that you rise and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship for Psalm 100. Please recite your response to my prompt. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing.
Know that the Lord who made us is God. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. For the Lord is good. Please remain standing for our morning prayer. Follow along in your bulletin. Recite with me. O holy God, open unto me light for my darkness, courage for my fear, hope for my despair. O loving God, open unto me wisdom for my confusion, forgiveness for my sins, love for my hate. O God of peace, open unto me peace for my turmoil, joy for my sorrow, strength for my weakness. O generous God, open my heart to receive all your gifts. Amen. And please remain standing for our hymn of praise in your red hymnal number 378, Amazing Grace.
Looking for some young people to come up. Come on. Oh, wow, we got four. That's good. Three, four. You can come too. It's all right. Hey, how are you? You're good today? Yeah, we have a nice sunny day. Going to go on a picnic or something today, maybe? Huh? Hey, what are these here? What are they? They're buckets. Right. You want one? Okay. You want one? They kind of get all tangled up together here. Three different colors. Okay. Well, you know, what the kids have been doing here is you've been collecting money, haven't you, for a special mission barn. And the buckets are a pretty good symbol of that, because at the mission barn, you know, they collect things for people who need help. Do you know about that big flood in West Virginia, right? Well, there at the mission barn, they gather flood buckets, which means buckets and all these different materials for cleaning. And they also collect blankets and all kinds of special things there for all over the northeast part of the country, up in New England, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, all those places where there's disasters, where floods come or there'll be a tornado or whatever. And they collect. And what we do here, this point for this month, you've been collecting money for the mission barn and to help them to distribute, that is to give these things to help clean and help fix up the houses and the homes like in West Virginia. And that's a way of supporting that ministry. Now, we also have a whole big group of blue people going to the West Virginia, don't we, huh? Yeah. And they're going to help build a room on a trailer size. It's a pretty big room, isn't it, like 12 by 14 or something like that? Yeah, it's good. So that's pretty nice. And that's what we do here, so that oftentimes I know that the people in the congregation give money to help special mission trips all over the country, and so we're thankful for that. And for your help in collecting the money. Now, what we hope to have this morning is that we collect, if you have some spare change, or if you have some quiet money, that's the folding kind, you can put some of that in there, and we can gather that to help the mission barn right outside of Butler to help folks who have a need. So you go with our prayers to collect the money from the congregation, and they give freely. They're wonderful in helping, so thank you. Dear God, we ask you to bless these missionaries as they go out and collect an offering for the special needs of people and the mission barn. Lift them, we pray, and grant them your favor. In Jesus Christ, we said, amen. Amen. Okay, go get them.
When Kelly told me that she was unable to be here today, I wondered if perhaps it was because of the title of what she was going to sing, Let Your Holy Rain Fall Down, and I guess they didn't need any more of that in West Virginia. But I've selected a prayer. It's the prayer of St. Francis, make me a channel of your peace. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring you love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, Master, grant that I may never seek too much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life.
Thank you, Diane, for that lovely presentation. And now I would ask that our ushers come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Gracious God, with your great wisdom, you have devised plans for each of us. Thank you for giving us gifts and talents and abilities and the resources to contribute to the flourishing work in the Church of Jesus Christ. As we dedicate our monetary gifts to your service, we recommit ourselves to the work you call us to do, all for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
As we gather this day, I'm sure there are prayers that you want lifted, and some names have been lifted for me. And is there any prayer requests out there that you'd like to be heard? Well, we know that there's always prayers that are unspoken, and as we gather this morning, we remember those persons who have special needs. Pastors coming and going is certainly a prayer for us all today. We have other pastors who throughout Western Pennsylvania are on the move. And sometimes those are joyful things, and sometimes there are times of mixed emotions for pastors and for churches. Sometimes you're trading something you know for something you don't know. And so we always ask for God's direction and blessings in the meantime. And I know that there's been some who have been in the hospital, and I just received a note about Andy, who is in Boston, in the hospital there with a serious ailment, and we lift him up. His mother's riding up tomorrow to see him, and we certainly, our prayers go with her and with Andy as his needs are. And we just simply pray for all those persons who are heading on the mission trip, that they have a safe trip, safe journey, and that they also have an equally safe return, but also safety in the process of doing the task there. So sometimes when you're doing work for somebody, even yourself, this can be a dangerous thing. You're using saws and other kinds of things, so we ask God's mercy be with them as on this trip. Let us pray. Oh, dear Lord, as we come to your throne of grace this morning, we just lift all things up to you. We see in our world a turbulence, a uncertainty, the brokenness, the hateful things and things that are so unkind that are happening in the midst of our world. And we just say, ask, O Lord, that your grace be manifold, that it be there and among us and be bringing healing instead of hate, bringing love instead of other kinds of prejudicial perspectives. We just pray, O Lord, that your will be done in the world, in our lives, in our communities, in our church. We just pray, O Lord, that you will touch us with your hand of blessing in all things. Stir our hearts that we might be always striving to be working for your world and for your children, red and yellow, black and white, for we know they are all precious in your sight. And we just pray, O Lord, that you will help us to be instruments of yours to provide food for the hungry and rest for the weary, and for those who feel themselves confused and lost, a supportive, encouraging hand and love. We just pray, O Lord, that you will be with us and be with all your people everywhere. We pray that you will enlist all who would stand for you to care about the world, its peoples, and the rights of peoples everywhere. And we just pray that you would bind up all those evil things, all those hatreds, all those ugliness, all those words that hurt, that are spilled out on seemingly everywhere and any place. We know, O Lord, is not pleasing in your sight, and so we say, bind them up, and we pray your blessing be known. O Lord, we pray for the new churches and who are receiving new pastors, and we pray that we might receive them with love and grace, and that we've sent off those pastors who are going yet another place. We pray that somehow your love and grace will go with them. So now, O Lord, in the midst of our time of prayer together, we just pray that you will heal those who are hurting and broken, that you will touch those who need the touch, and that you will feed those who are hungry, lonely, and the part of your kingdom. Help us to do those things, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us when praying to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Our appointed scripture for this day comes from Luke's Gospel, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 51st verse. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for Jesus to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elisha did?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. He rebuked them and he said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And then they went to another village. And now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to Jesus, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied and said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And then Jesus said to another person, "Follow me." And he responded by saying, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God." And then another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid those in my house farewell." And Jesus said to him, No one, having his hand to the plow, can, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, come with us, we pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is an important day when we come into God's presence. It's an important day because it is a time of going forward, not looking back, but going forward. The change of pastors is a very unusual kind of time because it is a letting go and saying goodbye, but it's also preparing ourselves for yet another to come. It's a time of mixed emotions, because those who have made connections with the pastor's family feel all kinds of ways. Sometimes they feel relieved, sometimes they feel upset, sometimes they feel broken. I can honestly say that when I've moved from place to place, it's always been some of the most painful and joyful times in our family's life. Because we had to pull together, because in most cases it meant breaking some ties and relationships that we hold very important. And so it's always a question in the midst of that changing time, when a pastor's family often will be thinking, wow, why would I ever want to trade the people I know for some who I don't know? And also for the congregations, those who've had a special connection to a pastor, they feel similarly, oh, we got to break in a new person again. And the whole sense of how can we do this, because it is a time which is difficult. That's if all things are great, but as we know, all times there's always a mixed time of changes. One of the times I tell this story because it's kind of indicative of your mixed emotions. One of the times we were moving from place to place, Narda and I have always decided that we were going to leave places better than we found them. And so we were in the process of cleaning up everything in the house, the floors to be waxed and all the bathrooms to be cared for and all those kinds of things. And so we left those last things, and the truck had moved, and we said our goodbyes to most of the people that we were able to say personally goodbye to. And we're finished eating up, and I had left the shower to be done, the last thing, because I needed a shower. You know what it's like? You need a shower. And lo and behold, one of the most dear and loving supporters of us in that congregation came to do a last check over the house and made sure it was in good shape. She should have known it was going to be in good shape, but she came as a dutiful servant to do that. And she went upstairs into the bathroom and removed the shower curtain. Now, I had a tremendous ministry at that particular church. But I left feeling unclean. And you know, it was something that made me mad. I was upset about that. And I thought, you know, I was going to take that shower curtain down, and we had a new one to replace it with. But I didn't say anything. I just seethed for a couple of days. And Narda, my wife, she said to me, and about the second day, okay, now, that's enough. Knock it off. But you see, that experience in that moment obliterated 8 years of ministry because I didn't get my shower. In the midst of transitions, there's things that happen, the things that get missed, that makes it difficult to go forward until you set those things aside. And that's sometimes the case. because you as a congregation must get ready to receive a new pastor, male or female. You must get ready to receive that pastor with as much love and concern and care for them as is possible. It's important because the first day of their ministry in your midst is very critical, because they're feeling some sense, why did I trade those other folks for these folks that I don't know, and they hardly know I'm here? It's going forward. And so when pastors leave, they move forward thankful and in faith that it's okay, going to be okay, that God will be with us. And I tell you, you know, on every occasion we came to that feeling and understanding that God went with us wherever we were. Even when I did the interim here, and at that point Pastor Tom was ill, and I had talked to the superintendent, and he said to me, I said to him, first of all, I'd be willing to come and do a short interim, which I meant by 6 weeks or 2 months, those kind of things. And lo and behold, the superintendent called me. He says, how about 9 months? Well, that wasn't quite what I had in mind, but we came and moved forward in faith, and God blessed us with our time with you. And so this particular passage in the scriptures of Luke, he's telling the story. Jesus is really beginning his ministry. And one of the things that happened, it tells it, he set his face towards Jerusalem, which means to say he understood that this was not going to be an easy task. It was going to be tough. It was going to call something from him and maybe would even cost him his life. And so when I looked at this passage, I thought about it, and I'm thinking about it, it's like Jesus put his game face on, you know, preparing for the impending kinds of challenges that he would face. Kind of like kids or youth groups or sports teams putting their game face on before they go into the contest. The mission team, they put on their game face, you know, ready to go in the midst of that. Want to go forward. And so that's what Jesus did. And interestingly enough, when he sent a couple of persons to go and prepare the way, they went into the Samaritan's town and area. And what happened was the Samaritan didn't really want to see him. They had a religious bind. They were difference of opinion about Jews and Samaritans, even though Samaritans were part of the Jewish group as a whole. But they were perceived as being not faithful to the cause. And so when they saw Jesus and his face, they knew, this man's going to ask something of us that we're not willing to do. And so they basically rejected him. But he'd been rejected before. He'd been rejected at Nazareth by his own people when he stood up to read. You remember. And basically they chased him out. They chased him out. And so this wasn't new, but it was something that happened. And so James and John, the sons of thunder, said to him, Jesus, do you want us to rain down fire on these people? And Jesus said, you don't understand what the kingdom of God is about. You don't understand. I came not to find them guilty, not to blame them, not to hurt them, but I came to show them the love of God. And that wasn't really what they were hoping to hear. What they were hoping to say was, yes, let's crush them and let's set up the kingdom and we'll sit on either side of you, Jesus. And we'll rule. We'll rule. Jesus said, no. You don't really know what this is all about. And then, you know, someone says, well, I'll follow you wherever you go, except I can't do it on Monday, Tuesday, or Thursdays. And, I'll follow you when I can. Kind of a half commitment, not really today thing. And Jesus is saying, no. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to be in 100%. You're going to have to be prepared to discipline your life in all that you do. You're going to have to follow me. He doesn't say it, but he implies you're going to have to follow me even to the cross. You can understand why the Samaritans weren't a part of that. We don't do that. Or sometimes in the midst of receiving a new pastor, the congregation kind of sits back. And they kind of sit back and they say, well, let's see what this guy is able to do. I'm going to be non-committed right now. I'm not going to do much. I'm going to wait. I'm going to listen. Jesus said, no. You got to be all in. You got to be all in. So in the midst of that, you see, they ask questions. Can I bury my father? Jesus says, no. Can I look over my shoulder while I'm plowing? And Jesus says, no. You know, that's really why old pastors really can't come back to minister to congregations, because they need to keep their eye on the future. They need to go forward. And so, even though sometimes we have a desire personally to call a pastor back, you know, that's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. I have a friend, we have a number of friends who, pastors who don't seem to have learned that. And on occasions when the timing is right, I've said to those guys, and they're all men, you need to leave that congregation alone and let the church find their ministry together with the new pastor. That's not your church anymore. Most of them don't like me telling them that, because they know I'm right about that. You don't go back. You have to go forward. And really, it's important to understand that you can't do it halfway. Experience that I've had in our lives in ministry. One time we had this gal and her husband who were very outgoing, very caring, supposedly. And they decided to become foster parents. And so they took this little infant. At this point, there was was really an orphan, to say the words. And we happened to encounter them on one occasion. And she had this little baby, which was less than 2 months old. And she was talking of it. And she said, "You're an ugly little baby." And she went on and on and talked about that baby being ugly and not loved and all those kinds of things. She was not committed to being a foster mother. You can't be it halfway. You've got to love that child. And at that point, my mother had been suffering from strokes, and she wasn't all able to express herself in all ways. And when we left there, she told our family, she said, "Don't you ever, ever, ever do that to a child. You don't ever do that. You cannot be half committed. Think you're doing something nice for somebody and then denigrating them in the midst of things." That's what it is to be commissioned. That's what it is to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We can't do it halfway. We must go forward. So in the midst of our world, which I think is torn up these days, it's broken, it's mean, it's I'm ugly, and it's not kind. And we, as the followers of Jesus Christ, must remember that our commitment can't be half-time, part-time, in the midst of all things. In the midst of the meanness and ugliness of our world, it takes those who follow Jesus Christ to be kind. Be kind anyways. If you see that out there in the world that there's someone being unfair, and even maybe we find ourselves being unfair, Christ calls us to be fair anyways, in spite of that unfairness. And we see people who are holding grudges and want to do mean things to other people, we need to release them from any grudges. We see a world, and even a political world these days, that is saying hateful and mean stuff which never should touch our lips, and doing things that are inappropriate in our nation's history. In the midst of the hate, Jesus says, we must love anyways, even if it leads to the cross. And in the midst of the world's unfaithfulness, unbrokenness, we need to lift the faith, to live it, to walk with it, and make a difference in the corner of the world where we stand. So be it with you. With me, with all our transitions, may God be with us. May God be with you. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for your grace, for it covers us in so many ways. We sing the hymns, "Just As I Am," and we know that you receive us as we are. And we know that amazing grace that saves a person like us. When originally he wrote that hymn, "Amazing Grace That Saves a Worm Like Me." Oh Lord, we are bathing in the grace which you provide. So help us to be like our Christ, following him with our game face and the willingness to love the world, even when it's not lovable. This we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. We find our faith, and we find it assured in the hymn 369, Blessed Assurance. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and abide with you even forevermore. And all God's people said,